You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life.
This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco on April 24th, 2022. In it, Reverend Elizabeth Mora talks about what happens after you roll away the stone. Enjoy.
My dad didn't bestow a lot of wisdom growing up. We never really sat down at the kitchen table where he laid out his philosophy of life so that I could have it a little bit easier. He was a great dad. I'm not complaining. But he didn't exactly talk a lot. He went to work, he came home, he went into the recliner, and he watched TV after dinner. Anybody else's dad kind of do that growing up? Okay, a couple of you, yeah. So we didn't play catch. I once asked him, would you do Indian princesses with me? No, he didn't want to do Indian princesses. So he didn't share a lot, except there was this one time in high school, in my junior year, where he surprised me. It was right after the closing of Fiddler on the Roof. I had played Hava. I was at the top of my high school career in musicals. I was going places, people. But this was Sunday night. The show had closed on Saturday. We had struck the set on Sunday. Now what? And I was depressed. I was sad, I was bored, I was cranky. I wasn't in the spring play, you see. So there was nothing to look forward to, and I was depressed. And then this quiet little man in the recliner must have had enough of it finally. And he said, honey, you're gonna have to learn to be happy, even when there's nothing to look forward to. Ooh. I had no idea what he was talking about at 16. It's taken me a lot of years to realize the brilliance of what he said to me. You're going to have to be happy, even when there's nothing to look forward to. I did not know that I was living with Ram Dass. Be here now is essentially what my dad taught me. This little Buddhist, I had no idea. And I would spend a long time trying to get that lesson and to finally learn that this very moment really is enough.
This is the moment. This is the day. When I send all my doubts and demons on their way, every endeavor I have made ever is coming into play, is here and now today. This is the moment. When all I've done, all of the dreaming, scheming, and screaming become one. This is the day. See it sparkle and shine. When all I've lived for becomes mine.
When all I've lived for finally becomes mine. And how do I live that in the letdown? The day after, the day that the stone has rolled away and there's a big open space. You have it happen to you in your life after every party that you've had. You know how to get ready for the party. You get prepared. You get everything out. You enjoy the party. And then the next day, if you're a little bit like me, the extrovert, there's a little relief, but there's also some sadness. Now what? When's the next party? Who's hosting? Anybody? Ah, see, I'm still working on it. You graduate, you finish this program. It used to happen to me all the time in seminary. You'd finish the 20-page paper with footnotes. And then what? I would have to come back to myself and realize, oh my gosh, outside of being a student or a party thrower, this is who I am. Oh, there's this moment right in front of me, as Ruby has been telling us. We're living it right now. We are at post-Easter season, which in church means there's a few less people sitting out there in those chairs and online. But hey, the really dedicated, they're the ones that come the week after Christmas, the week after Easter. So hey, it was big last week. I was here, and this is what you got. This week, no ears. You had a big, beautiful wreath up here. We prepared the day before. You went through Lent. We put little flowers. I see some of you here who helped us with that. And there was this big, beautiful wreath. But what do you get this week? Nothing but the hardware that I found in Ken's office. This is pretty much all that's left of last week's wreath. I'm just creating trash all over the floor. I know. So what do we do when the stone's rolled away? What do I do on Tuesday after my fabulous 10-day San Francisco vacation is over and I have no more trips scheduled for the rest of the year? I'm starting to get nervous, and then I remember Dad. Be here now, honey. There's this moment, and this is enough. In the same way that Elizabeth said, you are enough. When you come in that door, and this moment is enough, and there is enough. I'm passionate about enoughness. Let's make that a word. Gary Simmons sort of already coined it, enoughness. You are, I am, it is enough. Today is enough, post-Easter. Post-ears. Although I will say, this is how much of a letdown it is the week after Easter. The minister doesn't even show up. I hope you talk to him about that when he gets back next week. So after Jesus left this tomb, what do we learn? After he left, in the Gospel of Mark, which is the first one written after his death, so it's the closest to the time that he lived, and it's my personal favorite. It's the one that I go to first to see what does it say about something. So what does the Gospel of Mark say happened after the stone rolled away and the women came and saw that the tomb was empty? What happened? Does anyone know? The short ending of Mark is this. They ran away afraid. The end. That was it. The first story that came out about what just happened was they went to the tomb. It was empty. We were scared and we left. Jesus didn't walk around. Nobody touched his hands. He didn't say anything. That's the short ending of Mark. Do you know how many endings there are of Mark? Two. Yes, this book, this gospel, ends twice. Check it out. It's one of those little secrets that's really not so secret about the Bible that we don't know about, that somebody came along later and made a better second ending, where they told us a little bit about Jesus. And the other gospel writers told us that Jesus was around for a few days, and he did some things, and he gave us one important message, which was primarily to go ye and make disciples of all ye nations. In other words, you go do it. I'm done. And he put it in our lap. After the stone, life continues on. This is how the Buddhists put it. Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. It doesn't change. Before Jesus, be a good person. After Jesus, be a good person. keep doing what I do and more things. Keep on keeping on. The Buddhists call that equanimity, that there are these highs and there are these lows. There is suffering, there is joy, and there's room for all of it, even in unity. Because sometimes we get a little stuck up there. We get a little bit stuck in more, more, better, good, always, keep going, you can do it, and you can. And can you do it always? Or are there Sundays like this, where the stone has rolled away, there is no party coming up, there's simply this beautiful moment? And can that be enough for us? In a world, in a culture where we're taught more, more, more is better. Quarterly earnings must go up every quarter or something is wrong. And I remember thinking in my early college days, like, is there ever a quarter where it's okay to just be there? This is how naive I was and why I didn't go into finance. Like, can this just be enough for one quarter? No. So it's built into the water that we swim in. We don't even realize that we're programmed. Next, more, better, get it, go. It's a very masculine energy. And that's okay as long as it's balanced with some feminine energy. Because we need all of it. We need both of it. But the cameras aren't there the day after you win your gold medal in the Olympics. They're not there when they go home and do their laundry. No, the big news is they won the gold medal. You got the Oscar. You got the Tony. The next day, the days after, where you settle in to regular life with your dad sitting on the recliner, is where we find out where we're really going, what we're really made of, and whether we believe our teachings that there's enough. There's enough when it's normal, when it's not exciting. There's enough when no one's really paying attention. And so we bring some feminine energy when this stone rolls away. Now what? I was in City Lights bookstore yesterday, and little did I know that this message would pop up everywhere when I saw on the wall this. Stash your cell phone and be here now. In a bookstore, of course, that bookstore, but in a bookstore, to be here now and to stash your cell phone. I remember this great bit in the movie with John Cusack, where he held up the radio. Say anything. And he goes through this whole speech about how he wants to be a kickboxer, and he doesn't want to sell anything, and he doesn't want to buy anything, and he doesn't want to sell anything bought or buy anything sold or do anything with buying or selling. That's me. He wanted to balance life and do what he loved, and it didn't matter whether he was buying or selling anything big. The moment after, when the stone rolls away, is just as important as the buildup that came before it. Because now we rest. We receive. Think about everything that just went into Easter season for us, and what can we receive from that and embody and take forward? I've grown to like those quiet times. Again, off the chart extrovert standing here. Maybe a little bit of his age. You get a little bit older and you realize that you can't keep going at that pace. You realize that everything you thought that was going to happen didn't happen quite how you thought it would. So instead, we learn to embrace what's actually there. We can go with the flow more and not have to push all the time. I think we're in a culture change. Anybody else? So COVID happened. God, is there a Sunday when I won't talk about COVID? Someday. But as we come out of that, and as you come out of any big change, is there a shift? that we're looking for. The Great Resignation has happened. You've heard of it? Yes, many, many people are leaving their jobs, myself included. And so I look at this as post-COVID, post-Easter, post I've left my job and I'm finding something else to do. Now what? I call it my pebble time. It's not a big stone, although sometimes it feels like it. But you move pebbles throughout your life. Little pebbles start small. I mean, I thought I was going to be about Broadway originally. Then I thought I was going to be a big corporate executive. Then I was going to have the biggest Unity church there ever was. None of those things happened. But life happened instead. Good after the stone moments happened. And I found out that they were enough. They were more than enough. One of those is sitting in the back row. My husband, Arturo, a wonderful relationship is enough. A beautiful home that's comfortable with a cat that sits on my lap named Tuxie. I miss him. That's enough. The fun moments are fun as well, but there's so much beauty that happens in these quiet, feminine moments. So it turns out my dad was right. I learned a lot from him. He was right that this moment here for you, for me, it really is enough after all.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.